Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT. Brett Jensen sitting in for Mr. Brett Winterbull today. All right, so there's been a lot of news, and I just gave you guys some news not long ago, a couple, 30 minutes ago or so, about, so we know about the two suicides up at UNC, and there have been two suicides with CMS students here in Mecklenburg County within the last week. An 11-year-old girl tragically shot herself, and then I believe a freshman at Myers Park High School also committed suicide. And no idea as to what was the root cause of the suicides. No idea what led to these or what perpetrated this. But this does come on the heels of the massive Facebook leak where the whistleblower took all these documents and had the interview with 60 Minutes and then went up to Washington and had to testify up in Washington about things that Facebook knew, because Facebook also owns Instagram. Facebook knows, and about the detriment and the harm that goes on specifically with teenage girls. And so joining me now is Jaron Doby. And Jaron is a licensed clinical social worker. He's also got his master's in social work, and he's with Novant Health Psychiatric Associates. And so first of all, Jaron, thanks for joining us. I really appreciate this. When did this first start popping up in the medical industry on the radar concerning social media and potential suicide death rates with specifically young girls? Like, when did this all start becoming noticed?
Right. Well, number one, thanks for having me today, Brett, to speak on such a relevant topic. It's important to be able to understand that even before, like, social media, mainstream media, magazines, right, covers, the particular, like, spreads and things of that nature that were in there that promoted certain images and lifestyles and things like that, we have been seeing this ever since that time. A lot of folks tend to forget that. So with the implementation of social media, what it did was it put it in your hand, right, without you having to actively go to the store or go somewhere to be able to pick up these images in order to be able to buy and sell them. Like, because Facebook, roughly, if I'm not mistaken, off the top of my head, is around 15, 16 years old, right? So, like, and that was, like, the first, like, really big boom in social media that we've seen where it's gone mainstream, where folks are really being able to do all the things that you're able to do there. But this was definitely one of those issues that was very much so alive and well prior to the implementation of mainstream social media.
And so now comes Instagram, an offshoot of Facebook, which Facebook actually went and bought, and the overwhelming majority of users tend to be of the female persuasion. I want to say it's way more female than it is male, predominantly in terms of Instagram. And and we know that it's a lot of young girls that continue to use Instagram, or that specifically use Instagram. What has the invent of Instagram, or like, what are you seeing? Like, when you speak to parents or you speak to teen girls, what is it that you're seeing from them?
Mm-hmm. And being able to, of course, be able to speak with young females, young women, having the privilege of being able to help them with their issues. Yes, we're seeing a lot of your more common issues in relation to the anxieties and depression, in which women are more likely to experience depression than men are. That is something that is, something that we're seeing a lot of, as it does relate to the pressures of body image, right? And being able to kind of take an opportunity to fit within that particular box. I saw a very interesting study here recently in having a conversation with some young children that I had the opportunity to go and speak with, in which I wanted to say it was Dove that did a study in relation to, like, women feeling more so normalized and having to even utilize, like, filters and things of that nature in order to even make sure that they look a certain kind of way when posting pictures or even when storing own pictures on their phone. Like, as I mentioned already, like, the pressures of, like, body image, like, and lifestyle images and development, sexual identity, like, all of these things are very much so on the forefront on social media, everywhere that it is that you look, you know, and pretty much creating pressures to feel like that you have to conform. So that is something that, very much so exists.
Talk with Jaron Dobie, and Jaron is a licensed clinical social worker at Novant Health Psychiatric Associates. When you speak to parents, you know, sometimes it's hard to take a phone away from a 16-year-old girl or an 18-year-old girl or a 14-year-old girl. When you are talking to parents, are there signs for them to look for? Like, how do you deal with parents who are trying to figure out ways to maybe curb this?
Yes. Number one, it starts in the beginning, right? Even before, and this is for those parents that do have like emerging teens and things of that nature, that they are considering being able to give social media accounts, their own cell phones, things like that. Make sure that you set the boundaries, the standards, and the culture of what that looks like right now. Take an opportunity to have a conversation with your children about, you know, what to expect from social media, things that you've been able to learn, right? Being able to have conversations about things that they may even possibly see. So when it comes down to like the monitoring, right, of their use, right, or screen time and things of that nature, when it does come to the point where you have to limit that, you've already set the standard or the boundaries for what it looks like, and that helps to be able to prevent pushback from them in any particular way. Now, when it comes down to those parents, right, or those relationships that we have with younger children within our homes, and, you know, like I said, you are getting some pushback, given that it's not really a popular thing to be able to promote lesser screen time or taking phones away, it's important to be able to have these conversations as to why, right? 100 years ago, I used to be a teenager, Brett, okay?
That makes two of us.
You know, I definitely understand how it feels to, you know, when you are a young teen and your parents, right, you feel like that your parents are doing things just to make life miserable when ultimately, you know, that's coming from a caring place. At least we hope so. Be able to make sure that you break down what it is that you are doing. And if you are making this change in relation to screen time, taking away phones, limiting exposure and things like that, make sure that you remain consistent with being able to do it. It doesn't just need to be a one-off, because the more that you remain consistent, then the more used to the new normal that everybody can get within the home.
Well, Jaron Dobie, like I said, he's a licensed clinical social worker, and he's got his also master's in social work, and he's with Novant Health Psychiatric Associates. And, you know, again, like this really, like we've heard about this, you know, here and there every once in a while, and it would just be like a quick drive-by, a quick mention, and then it goes away. But after what happened, you know, where it was on 60 Minutes, you know, two Sundays ago, with all the Facebook data and the documents, and then having to testify in Washington, and now here locally, tragically, we've had, you know, a couple of suicides, and we know that social media and teen suicides are up, and depression is up, especially with female teens. Has your practice, and I'll let you go on this last question, but the people that you're seeing, has it increased the number of people that are actually coming to see you with parents or kids?
Mm-hmm. I would say that we have seen an uptick, like I said, in patients, teens, and adults, just over the pandemic in general. The pandemic has offered a whole new dynamic that we haven't seen, at least in recent history, right, in quite some time. So folks are having to adjust. Folks are definitely spending more time on electronic devices. So that is going to cause, of course, in dealing with other life stressors, some increased need, right, in order to be able to seek some help. And I just want to make sure that I move backwards very quickly in relation to signs. If you are noticing any difference whatsoever in your child's behavior whatsoever, don't take it as just to be swept under the rug. I don't care if it's anything that is too far wrong or too far right, right? And just an increased, exaggerated sense of happiness, or even if it is low mood, anxiety in any way, increased sleep or decreased sleep, changes in appetite, increased irritability, lack of interest or pleasure in doing things, or as we like to call it, anhedonia. Make sure that you're paying attention to any of these behavioral or